Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about the Kingdom of God, and we were talking about our article on peaceful majority, pointing out that they're not really peaceful, that they're actually, the majority is lukewarm. And they're warm for Christ. They want to believe in Christ. They want to follow Christ. They want to follow, you know, maybe Moses, which is, if you were following Moses, you would be following Christ, because Moses and Christ were in agreement. Problem is, most Jews don't follow Moses. Most Muslims don't follow Moses. They don't follow Abraham. And therefore, they also don't follow Christ. So how do you make the distinction between who's following God and the prophets of God, and who's actually doing contrary? Who are the lukewarm which God spews forth from his mouth? Well, the reason why you get 60 million people killed here and 120 million people killed there and 30 million people killed over here by a minority of radical extremists, progressive socialists, communists, democratic socialists in these different countries is because of the lukewarm. Are really not the peaceful majority, but they're very violent people. They're very selfish people. They don't yell and scream like some of the abusive socialists and communists that you see out there trying to promote their particular agenda. But they are socialists. They are violent people. They desire benefits from men who exercise authority for them. They won't come to your house and force you to give to them. They won't come to your house and beat you up like brown shirts and stuff like that. They, or the Gestapo, they won't do those things. But they will ask other men to force you to contribute to their welfare, because they want, you know, free education. They want public school. Everybody who wants public education have already accepted in their minds that it's okay to force my neighbor to pay for my child's education. As long as I do it through the agency of government, through these benefactors I keep electing. And, you know, they will come and they will force my neighbor to pay for my child's education, or they'll take their house away from them. I mean, if they don't pay into my kid's education this year and next year, somebody will come and take their house away from them, throw them out in the street in the pouring down rain, and confiscate their entire house. You know, that they might owe, you know, like the one case we told you about in Pennsylvania where the lady, she thought she had paid up the taxes. Her husband had died. They had owned the house free and clear. And she had to come up with his taxes, and she paid. And she thought she paid the full amount, but there was $6 outstanding that she didn't pay. And they took her whole house away and sold it. They sold it at auction for a fraction of its value, because she owed $6. This is hundreds of thousands of dollars this house was worth. It took years and tens of thousands of dollars in legal fees to finally get her house back, because she owed $6. The county did this. And it did it while the silent majority were going to church singing hymns or Bhagavad Gita or whatever it is that, you know, the, you know, actually, that's not a song, but whatever they do in their temples, mosques, and churches and synagogues. They were all doing that, but they were not attending to what Christ calls the weightier matters. Injustice occurred on their watch. Their pastors got their salaries, and they got their holy water and their little wafers of bread and all their little play game communion things that they do. But their neighbor had their house taken away from them because they owed $6 in taxes. Taxes that are imposed upon them so that you can have free education for your children, free health care, free whatever it is that you want, free county and government services. Because you believe in a system of covetousness. You believe it's okay to covet your neighbor's goods through the agency of government. And so that's how I know you're not a real Christian. You're not a real follower of Moses, so you're not a real Jew. You're not a real Muslim, because you don't listen to what Abraham said and his free will altars of sacrifice. And we explain all this in the book, Thy Kingdom Come. So we know that you're completely devoid of the Spirit of God, because you don't see that there's something wrong with this. You know, I was explaining again in the previous program, somebody who for years were doing something completely contrary to every moral teaching of almost every religion there is on the face of the earth. They were doing it for years because it was comfortable. They excused it because their parents supposedly said it was okay, and their parents probably said it was okay because they were doing it anyway. And they never heard their conscience say, I really shouldn't be doing this. Because they weren't listening to their conscience. They'd already put that somewhere else. They had no spiritual conscience. Now God was the same, but they're not listening to God. They probably thought they were pretty good people, and by today's standards, they probably were pretty good people. But today's standard says that it's okay to covet your neighbor's goods through the agency of government to get whatever benefit you want. You want a new pool for the school so that your kid can be in the swim meets. You just up the tax levy. Just take it away from your neighbor. And you make sure your neighbor gives, because you're going to have men going out there with the collection plate with a gun on his hip. That's right, he's going to have a gun on his hip. And if they don't pay into your collection plate at your civic temple, you're going to have his house taken away from him. And he's going to be thrown out on the street. He may even be arrested and thrown into jail for years, because he did not contribute at your church, your civic church. Somebody wrote today, all governments are religious. Yeah, because all governments take care of the needy of society. They just, most of the governments do it by force. Until John the Baptist, everybody sought the kingdom of righteousness or heaven or whatever you want to call it by force. That's you. You're not following John the Baptist. John the Baptist said, okay, you want education for your child. You can ask your neighbor to help. You can't force him to help. You don't have a coat and you're freezing and you're cold. You can ask your neighbor if he's got an extra coat. You're hungry? You can ask your neighbor if he has extra food. But if you're going to go to men like Saul and other such benefactors who are going to force the offerings of the people, this is Saul's big sin. He forced a sacrifice. You go read it. That's what it says. He forced a sacrifice for a good cause. They were worried about the, you know, Philistines coming in, and he needed to put together an army, and he needed food and stuff. So he forced a sacrifice. And because of that, his kingdom was not going to stand. And neither is yours going to stand. It's going to crumble. I don't care if it's Denmark. I don't care if it's Canada. I don't care if it's the United States. I don't care if it's the European Union. They're going to crumble. Somebody sent last night that supposedly some U.S. jets were shot down by Russians. And he's warning us. It's unsubstantiated, but his sources are normally good. You know, we're all supposed to be terrified. I tell you what you need to be terrified of. Not them that can kill the body, but them who have already killed your soul. Because you're not listening. If you're listening to the Holy Spirit, you know that coveting your neighbor's goods through the agency of government is spitting in the face of Christ. But see, you've been blaspheming the Holy Spirit, not listening to the Holy Spirit, and listening to your preachers who have made themselves rich while you were being entangled in the elements of the world. Because you were greedy for gain. You wanted one purse. You wanted to be guaranteed comfort from the spirit of Satan, the spirit of force, the spirit of compelling your neighbor to contribute to your welfare. You are the absolute antithesis. You are the Antichrist. You are the beast. Now, you want to repent? Let's talk about repentance. Start gathering together. Start giving. Giving. To take care of the needy of your society. You say, oh, everybody in our congregation is doing fine, so we don't have to give. You see, if you really have the Spirit of Christ, you care about the next congregation as much as you care about your own. And so you will give anyway. You will give till it hurts. You give till you're absolutely exhausted. As if you were hanging on a cross. Because you have the character of Christ. He stayed up all night praying. You ever do that? Stay up all night till the cock crows and you're still awake praying that people will listen to the Holy Spirit of God and start to do the righteous things of God by keeping the commandments and stop coveting your neighbor's goods. Stop coveting your own goods. How many nights have I stayed up all night and prayed that you would wake up and seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, gathering together to become the benefactors who don't exercise authority one over the other. But you're still out there playing church, thinking of eschatologies and following rituals as if rituals will save you. You're not even quiet enough to be still to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say to you. And many of you will not wake up till all the world is crumbling about you. And we see the evidence of that crumbling estate, of the iron, the force, and the clay that's you not mixing. We have the foolish virgins on the right rebelling against the system, saying, I won't have anything to do with it. I won't take any of its benefits. I'm going to burn up my oil until I have no, but I will not take their benefits. But you won't have any oil for the feast because you're not touching the lives of your neighbor. You're not loving your neighbor as yourself. You love yourself. You love your children. You love your family. Maybe a couple of buddies that you gather with. Ah, but the rest of the idea of the kingdom, those guys are on their own. I'm not going to take... They actually even write this in emails that I'm not... I will take back the responsibilities for me, but not for anybody else. For me and my family, but not for anybody else. Well, then you don't know the kingdom. Because Christ didn't come to die for his sins. He came to die for other people's sins. Other people he hadn't even met. That's the Spirit of Christ. That's just what you want to do. When you stay up all night trying to make it clear what the kingdom is and what the kingdom is not in words so that people can read them, because that's the only way you can touch them. You stay up all night for many people you never even know or meet. You pray for them all night long, and you don't even know them or their children or their grandchildren. You will never even meet them. That's the Spirit of Christ. That's the spirit of sacrifice. This is the spirit you have, because you are far short of the kingdom. You need to want to be like the prodigal son who returned to be a servant in his father's house. He did not come back to be the son or to have the fatted calf killed for him. He came back to be a servant, and his father ran out to meet that son before he even got there. Why would he come out to meet you when you do not gather together to serve one another? So my recommendation is start to developing a voice for the hue and cry. These are all articles. If you went to preparingyou.com and looked up the peaceful majority in the search engine, you'll find the article. And there are all kinds of links to pure religion, covetous practices, what religion is, what one purse is, hue and cry. And you can read those other articles. And that's, remember, you're only reading about all these things up here in the tree of knowledge. You need to sit still and ask yourself for the blessings of the Holy Spirit so that you know what is righteous. Stop being slothful in the ways of righteousness. Start to actually seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Start to strive to be an element of that righteousness in a community of people. In an intentional community of people that are going to become, seek to become, strive to become, persevere to become the benefactors of society who do not exercise authority one over the other. There is a latent, hidden spirit in America and in places like Australia and everywhere, even in some of the in the midst of Soviet Union. Even though, you know, the Soviet Union, you know, millions of people have fled there who drained them of their genetic righteousness, of their society. You know, because if you had any interest in freedom and courage to seek it, many people just left and fled those places. I mean, you're seeing the same thing in places like Syria and Iran, where millions of people have fled because of the persecution. Well, amongst those people are also people who are seeking righteousness. And they're getting out of those places. But still, there are people there. There always are. That have not been taken out of those places. They're harder to find, but they're still there. Because that's the way God does it. He reserves some people to stay in even places as wicked as those. Now, they may leave at the last minute like Lot and be spared. Some of them may be incinerated and those places are destroyed. But don't fear those that can kill the body. Fear those that are killing your soul because you're not listening to the Holy Spirit. You're conjuring up religious eschatologies in your brain, which is the tree of knowledge, instead of shutting up, being still, and listening to the righteous Holy Spirit who is your comforter. You do not need any other comfort. Fast from all other comforts. We talk about denying self in order to find God. But we have to recognize self. We have to confess our sins. We have to see that we haven't really been listening to God for most of our lives. Everybody has listened to God a little bit. Everybody has heard Him speaking to them when they're a child. But society is bent on getting you distracted. I shouldn't say society. Evil in society is bent on getting you distracted so that you don't hear the Holy Spirit. Remember Peter, when Jesus asked, "Who am I, who am I, who am I?" He asked three times. Finally, Peter answered. And he said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because you are a rock." Because you know this, not because flesh and blood has revealed it to you, not because you calculated it up in the tree of knowledge, not because you memorized your eschatology, theology, or doctrines that you imagined to be the doctrines of Christ, but because the Holy Spirit had revealed it unto you. Christ knew that that was a revelation. He saw it taking place in spiritual realms. You don't know when that takes place. You can't always distinguish that. You have so many hooks in you from the world, the flesh, and even from the devil. that you can't always tell that. But then again, if you've been listening to this show, maybe you are with us. You know, that's one of the things. Early Christians attended to the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith. They did this through daily contribution, caring about the needs of their neighbors, the widows, the orphans of their society, and pure religion. They were the health, education, and welfare departments through a system and network of congregations, following the way of Christ, which is the way of charity and sacrifice. They were in the world, but they are not of the systems of the world. They did not apply to the Corban of the Pharisees or the Corban of Rome or the Corban of Corinth. You know, in a recent answer, which has kind of gone out, I haven't gone out full-fledged, I won't mention it, to someone's question, I pointed out, you know, yeah, he says in Corinthians, come out of them, my people. You know, come out. But he's talking to Corinthians. Why? You know, one of his traveling buddies, Paul's traveling buddies, was the treasurer of Corinth. That's right. He was the head of the system of Corban in Corinth, the social welfare system of Corban in Corinth. Erastus. He's the chief chamberlain in Corinth. He's talking to the head of government welfare in Corinth. He's writing to Corinthians who are considering to take the whole nation system of Corban and move it to a charitable system of Corban. From a compulsory system of Corban, which is what everybody had gone to before the days of John the Baptist. Which is why John the Baptist is saying make straight the way of the Lord, because that's not the way of the Lord to force your neighbor to contribute to your welfare. And anybody who does that is not following the ways of the Lord, and they're not following the ways of Jesus Christ, and they're not following the ways of Moses, who said, love thy neighbor as thyself, talked about free will offerings, which is the essence of charity, never mentions charity, but mentions free will offerings and sacrifices, and condemns the government of Saul because Saul forced a sacrifice. You do that every day, and that is why all your governments are condemned. Not because I condemn them, because they condemn themselves by following the ways of Satan, the adversary of God, instead of following the ways of God, which is faith, hope, and charity, and the perfect law of liberty. So you think you're going to fix things by returning to the Constitution, when the Constitution, of the five things that you were told by the Bible to put in your Constitution, you only put one in the Constitution of the United States. Most of the people at the time of the Constitution being implemented were against it. It was never put to a popular vote because most of them were against it. And yet now you think it's your salvation. It is not. Now I think the world of some of those guys who helped produce it. But it doesn't make them right. They were wrong, and many of them began to question, you know, we may have done wrong here. But, of course, then the people weren't even a party to it. They were trying to figure out a solution, and they were in error. They made mistakes. I'm not picking on them. Well, I might pick on Hamilton. But the rest of the guys, a lot of the other guys, were pretty good guys. I'd love to have them as neighbors, and I would debate them. I just talked to a minister the other day. And somebody said they should have me at their church for Bible study. And I've talked to this minister many times. And I looked at him, and he wasn't more than 10 inches away from me. And I put my arms out, and I says, I'm willing to go a couple of rounds. But, you know, he didn't take me up. He didn't invite. He's afraid. That, you know, some people might walk away from his church. Better to be afraid that they're going to walk away from Christ or stay away from Christ because they've already walked away from Christ because they're not doing what Christ said. They say they believe in him, but they're not doing what he said. And you know what he said about those guys. So anyway, it's really simple. So I had written another article that I actually didn't send out with a notice about this, but it's linked to. And it's my With Us article. Are you with us? You know, and you read in Matthew 1:23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. With us. You know, the words with, you know, meta in the Greek, with. It's normally translated about 345 times with. 84, or I guess about 88 times it's translated after and also translated among. But basically it means with. It's kind of a primary preposition. Us is hemon, the Greek word hemon. And it's translated us, you know, about 82 times, but most of the time it's translated our. You know, about 300 sometimes it's translated our, meaning, you know, somehow this group. Are you with us? Are you with the group? Are you with Christ? Well, you know, that's an interesting question. I know a lot of you think you are. And you could be, but you may have to do a little more repenting than you've done already. And we'll talk about that when we return to Keys of the Kingdom. After a brief break, be right back. Thank you. Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. The last place in the Bible where you'll read the phrase "with us" is in 2 John 1:2, which says, "For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever." This idea of "with us," is Christ really dwelling in you? If he's not, you need to know that he is not really dwelling in you. That ye submit yourself unto such and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. He says in 1 Corinthians 16:16. With us. Who is with us? Who is with the Lord? Who is following the ways of Christ? Who is submitting themselves to his spirit? You know, it says in 2 Thessalonians 1:7, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels." Do you have any idea what that means? You know, in 2 Peter 1:1, right away, you see Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Those who have obtained that precious faith. That's those who have repented, turned around, and put together a system of Corban based on free will offerings instead of a system of Corban based on force, which Herod set up, which Augustus Caesar set up, which FDR set up. And if I could think of the names of leaders of other countries, I could name you lots of them who set it up too. Similar systems of Corban, all linked together by treaty throughout the world. And you have the number of that benefactor who exercises authority one over the other, who is a beast of a ruler and will throw one family out of their home because they did not provide free education for another family. And you think that's okay, because your preachers who have made themselves rich tell you that's okay and that Jesus loves you. I'm telling you that Jesus wants to say to you, "Get ye from me, ye workers of iniquity." Jesus is calling you. I am calling you to repentance, to turn around and start being the benefactors who don't exercise authority. Start dwelling amongst each other and with us in love for one another. Many people over the ages have thought that God was with them, when in truth they were actually opposing God and working iniquity on the earth and with their fellow man through these systems of Corban that exercise authority one over the other, these systems of social welfare that are based on progressive socialism or communism or whatever, you know, social democracies, where you all have one purse and somebody gets to decide what you're going to give and you don't have any choice of it. Your purse is not your own. Your labor is not your own. Your children are not your own. You have been made merchandise because of your covetous practices. The only way back is to repent and stop the covetous practices and start the daily sacrifice in the living temple of God, not some dead stone temple in some land calling itself Israel that is no more Israel than Paris, Texas is Paris, France. Now, your religion, which you worship, is what you think about God. You need to know the real God. The only way to really know that is not through flesh and blood, not through study, not through climbing around in their tree of knowledge, but in being still and listening to that God-given conscience who would say, "No, don't live with each other. Be married. Make a commitment. No, don't be greedy for gain. No, don't use people or let them use you so that you can be comforted by their presence. No, stop lying about your faith. Stop conjuring up a God to worship in your own mind. And start seeing the truth about yourself and the whole world. The whole wars were fought and millions have died at the hands of men who thought and claimed they were doing God's will. Because they created God in their own mind. That's idolatry. They do this with their eschatologies, theologies, their homemade doctrines. And they're so vain, they think, oh, we figured this out. But they didn't figure out this such a basic thing of not coveting your neighbor's goods. You see, that's one of the commandments. Thou knowest the commandments, keep them. You're not. So you don't have access to eternal life. You're not even trying. You're not even trying to come together in little tiny congregations, linking them together so that you could become the social insurance based on faith, hope, and charity. So now you're surprised that your governments are forcing you into social welfare, forcing you into social insurance. This is the Christian conflict. This was the Christian conflict at the time of the Emperor Saturninus. Go look up Christian conflict on preparingyou.com and read. I mean, they tell you right there. You have the trial. They're telling you right there. All you need to know is the definition of words at that time. And you can figure this out yourself. I don't need to tell you. But evidently, I do need to tell you. But with some of you are saying, yeah, that you know, bells, lights started going off and I started realizing, oh my gosh, this is it. So now what are you doing about it? Have you gathered together in a congregation of record? Have you gone on record and saying, I'm gonna learn to count to 10. I'm gonna learn to count to 10 and watch over these guys in hopes that these guys watch over me. I'm going to cast my bread upon the waters and hope that these, and I want my minister to connect with 9 other groups just like ours, and we're going to start seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I don't care about the rest of the eschatologies and theologies. If I don't get this right, I got nothing. If I'm still going to depend upon the benefactors who exercise authority, even if I'm not going to depend on them, if I will not be amongst the wise virgins, I'm going to be locked out because I'm going to waste my oil, my life, my denarii, my talent, burying it, keeping myself safe, but not loving my neighbor as myself. Luke 9:49. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him because he followeth not with us. He wasn't a part of their network. And Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. And I'm fine with that. But there's still a with us over here that's doing the job. Are you doing the job? Now, there are guys out there saying, oh, this is right and this is right. Are they doing the job? Are they feeding his sheep? Are they taking care of one another? Do they actually, you know, somebody said, I'm not a part of your setup. It's not our setup. It's Christ's setup. It's Moses' setup. It's Abraham's setup. It's what they've been doing for thousands of years, those who follow Christ. They gathering together and sacrificing on living altars. Men, they look out amongst themselves, find men who are men of service, and they contribute to them, and those men go about helping who they will. We're just beginning to do that. We're waiting upon you. We're serving you. We're sleepless nights of prayer trying to figure out how to explain the simplicity of the gospel to you so that you will come together and start doing what Christ said to do so that you become doers of the word and not hearers only. We live a life of almost poverty for ourselves. You know, we have ministers who've stepped out. And we're fine with it. You don't need to give to us. You just learn the need to give in righteousness. You need to give when the Holy Spirit says to give. You can't even stop fornicating when the Holy Spirit says to stop fornicating. You sit there and make up excuses. Well, but you know, everybody is doing it. How in the heck, why aren't you listening to the Holy Spirit? Why isn't, that's what virgins were. I mean, they're obviously the sexual version of virgin and fornication, but most adultery was national adultery, and it was based on these systems of Corbin. How come you didn't see the error of those systems? You said, well, I haven't paid in years. But yeah, but have you paid into the righteous system of Corbin? No. Why? Because you don't listen to the Holy Spirit. You've invented God in your own mind, and you worship that because it gets you out of paying taxes. Shame on you. Where's the Corbin of Christ? Where are you doing what that first century church had to do? Where is your daily ministration for the needy of society? Where has it been for the last 10, 20, 30 years? Now, I'm not condemning you. I'm saying repent wholly. Turn around. Seek the righteousness of God. Yeah, you paid into a bankrupt system and you still have to pay in. You still have to give your tally of bricks to a Pharaoh who is on his way out. His system is crumbling because iron does not mix with clay. It doesn't work to force your neighbor to contribute to your welfare. It weakens society. It destroys the hue and cry of society. It makes you the silent majority. That was another term. Instead of peaceful majority. Because you're not peaceful. You're absolutely willing to wreak violence upon your neighbor in order to get free education for your kids. To force your neighbor to contribute. So you're not peaceful. You're just silent in the ways of righteousness. You're not going to do what is righteous. Well, it's none of my business. You know, I go to church. I believe in God. I just don't have time to do what he says. I got so much on my plate. I got to go do this. I got to go bury my dad. I got to go, worry about this. And yeah, you should have my plate. Quit whining. Start seeking. I don't care if they're baby steps. Start gathering together. Start putting out a little effort towards the kingdom. You know, how fast was the prodigal son walking when he first left the pigsty to go serve in his father's house? Was he taking baby steps? I mean, it took him a while probably to even come up with the courage to even turn around. We're looking for ministers who are really going to make that life commitment. You know, we had the apostle saying, we will follow you. Are you sure? Do you know where I'm going? See, he knew he was headed to crucifixion. You ready for that? How many of you are ready for crucifixion? I had one of our ministers having to face that question. I said, you need to be ready to be crucified. And it was not, nobody's going to actually pound nails on him. But I can't give you the details of it. But he was facing threats in his personal life. And he was not willing to accept the discomfort that was going to come to overcome this problem in his spiritual, personal life. And he blew it. And I see how important it is. I mean, you have to make a real commitment. And the first time you start to make that commitment, you don't know what you're doing. Apostles the same way. They were saying, yes, Lord, I'll follow you no matter what. I'll never deny you. You will deny me 3 times, but I'll pray for you. You'll come around eventually. You'll receive the baptism of fire eventually. But you got to go through this. And you out there in radio land, you need to go through some serious soul searching. And gathering together in a congregation is the perfect environment to do so. I knew people who said they didn't want to get married till they understood women. Well, there's a celibate for you. Wasn't going to get married till he knew what everything he needed to know about being a good husband. Well, that's ridiculous. You won't know what you need to know about being a good husband until you become one. And try being one and find out you're not as good as you thought. It's a learn by doing thing. And they finally got married and it was too late to have children. So, I mean, the whole purpose of marriage is to be fruitful and multiply. And even though they weren't going to have children, they didn't bother adopting. You know, I've seen time and time again, and this is something that's going to be coming up, where people begin to wake up and see the truth. Lights begin to go on. And they even begin to take steps in the direction of following the ways of Christ. And Christ has a whole parable about this. You know, the seeds that get sown and they sprout up and they grow. But weeds come in, choke them out. It's worse for them. They're blinder after they turn back. You put your hand to the plow, don't turn back. You're blinder. It makes it worse. You know, like the cartoon. You're only making it worse. Don't turn back. Keep going. Not full steam. Just keep chugging. Keep moving in the direction of the kingdom. Keep gathering together. Yeah, you gather together in the first group. Had a lot of jerks in it, including you. You're a bit of a jerk too. You know we all are. Yeah, this is a spiritual struggle deep inside. That's where Christ is revealed. That is where his holy angels, they're ready to help you, and you're going to need their help. You're going to need their pillars of fire. You're going to need their miraculous parting of seas. You're going to need that. You need to make the real commitment, the deep, deep, deep commitment to righteousness. It's not done up here in your mental head. It's done down there in the soul you never want to go and take a look at with all your sins. Go and get baptized and confess your sins in the depth of your being. We can't just wash the outside of the body and purify the inside. You need to have the ways of Christ wash over you daily. You need the daily sacrifice in a living temple of righteousness. You need to follow those ways of Christ and not the ways of the Pharisees, which is the ways you have gone for years. Christ appointed his kingdom to the little flock. He took it away from the Pharisees out of their own mouth. They said, "We have no king but Caesar." The church became Israel because the church followed the king. And they were mostly Jews by the thousands, followed the king in a different kind of kingdom, a different form of government. A government of righteousness depending upon free will offerings to be the benefactors of the people in faith, hope, and charity. Not by force, but by love. That was our walls. That was our bonds, the bonds of love. If you're not doing that, you are not with us. You have not had your Pentecost. You have not received the Spirit of Christ. Because if you had, I could not hold you back. I could not keep you from gathering together in righteousness. But instead, we have foolish virgins who do not follow the ways of Christ and the righteousness of Christ. You need to turn around. You need to go the other way. You need to attend to the weightier matters because it will test your metal. Iron sharpens iron. But the heat of the Lord tempers the steel of your faith. And that heat comes when you actually seek His kingdom on a day-to-day basis with daily sacrifice. Somebody who's worried about war coming, like I said before, and you're worried about these supposed jets shot down and all this stuff. War is already upon us. It's been upon us for years. It's a war for your souls. A war for your hearts and your minds. And you're not going to win that war swinging at the tree of knowledge. But by really dying to the self, this intellectual self, and starting to listen quietly to the tree of life. What should I do today? Am I really serving? Am I really here to sacrifice my life for my fellow man? Because only that sacrifice will bring life more abundant. Only that laying down of your day, your time, your energy, your blood, so that others may live, will give you life. Because till then, you have taken the life of others. You have taken a bite out of one another. You have entered into the city, which is the cauldron, where you be the flesh. And you have eaten of that pot of unrighteousness. Now you must set the table of the Lord, which is set only by free will offerings, only by faith, only by hope, only by everything you give you must let go of. And then you will not say, well, I paid in, I should get. I gave freely away. It doesn't matter whether you give me back or not to me. It may matter to you, but my salvation is not dependent upon your salvation. Are you ready for that walk of righteousness? Are you ready to seek that kingdom of righteousness? That church appointed by Jesus Christ, that called out assembly, that separate group of people who actually come to serve in the name of Christ, who will pray all night while you sleep in hopes that by the next day you will wake up and seek the kingdom. This is your hour of deliverance. But it's your hour of choice. Are you going to gather with others? Not just, you know, thieves and robbers gather together. They help one another. But they have no sense of the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You need that sense. You need that way so that you can be with us who lay down their lives daily so that ye may have life more abundant. Till then, peace upon your house, and may God be with you.